And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see," and I saw, and behold, bad movie futures. Hello, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a special preview of Bad Movie Futures, the new members-only series here at Bad Movies We Love. This is the first 15 minutes of my conversation with Kate from Pizza Bones and the Pop Culture Reflections podcast on the latest Jurassic movie, Jurassic World Rebirth. If you like what you hear and you want to become an official card-carrying member of the Resistance Frontlines, make sure that you check the show notes and stay tuned at the end of the preview for details on how to sign up. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy the preview. Kate, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
I'm excited too, because this is sort of like a different muscle to flex from what I normally do on the show, which is movies that are probably like a minimum of 20 plus years old. Like I don't really get the opportunity to talk about contemporary movies very often. So any chance I get to do something like this is a treat for me. So we're going to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
You have a couple of shows. I'm going to let you fully sort of plug those at the end, but you are an experienced podcaster in your own right. And we're going to be talking about Jurassic World Rebirth, the 7th Jurassic Park movie. Although, is it its own franchise now at this point? Like, is Jurassic World its own thing?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think it's, they definitely go hand in hand. I think it's a continuation, but there is a real definitive difference, I think, between the two franchises. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with the Jurassic Park franchise, and I feel like I enjoyed all of those movies just fine. I mean, I love the first one. Second one's still good. Third one, okay, like, depreciating returns. And then there's a long break. There's, what, 12, 15 years between Jurassic Park 3 and Jurassic World. And I didn't see the original Jurassic World in theaters, I don't think. But then I saw all the subsequent ones in theaters. So was this a movie that got you to go to the theater?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I always see the Jurassic movies at the theater. I'm old enough that I saw the original one at the theater, so that was a good memory. I remember they had a big display over the door as though you were walking into Jurassic Park. Mm. It's very, very exciting. So I've been to see all of them. They always get me to the movies. So, yeah, I think I only saw this one once. This is, yeah, the other ones, are the other Jurassic Worlds, I think I only saw once as well, so. But I've watched them quite a few times since.
That's fair. I think I only saw Dominion once and Fallen Kingdom once. And then I think I watched the first Jurassic World a second time, maybe. Mm-hmm. But part of, you know, my hesitation with this is that I saw the trailer for the movie and I was like, oh, this looks like fun. I see like clearly some Jaws inspired energy here with the boat stuff, and oh, there's a new creature design, and I like Gareth Edwards as a director. So I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt as much as I could. So I went into it probably more excited and hopeful than I did for previous iterations of Jurassic World. And I don't know, for me it's not great, but it's also not horrible. Like, it's kind of like right in between, where it's just another franchise entry. It continues to be very successful, so I think it feeds the appetite of people that enjoy the Jurassic World franchise, and you get to see, you know, there's new dinosaurs that we haven't seen before in this. There's sort of like big action sequences in this, and it sort of feels like a disaster movie, like almost on the line of like, it's almost a comedy because of how the script is written. And so, like, for me, I think that's part of like where I begin to struggle with it, is there's like a kind of like tonal imbalance between the type of humor that is used in the film and then the sort of serious nature of like the danger and the dinosaur side of things. And so for me, I like, this is a really good cast, but I want to know for you, like, how did you feel like when you walked out of the theater for this? Did you feel like, hey, this is a improvement on the previous three films? Is this going in the wrong direction? Because it's kind of like there was Jurassic Park, 1, 2, 3, then Jurassic World, 1, 2, 3. And now we're at Rebirth. So it's like, are we starting a brand new sort of trilogy in the franchise?
Yeah, I think the name is actually perfect in that sense, because I did feel coming into this that this was like a reset almost, and this was going to be a new story, new characters. I'm not a huge fan of Chris Pratt in the Jurassic World movies. I find that
fair.
That
more than fair.
Yeah, I was really happy to hear that he wasn't, you know, going to be joining us for this journey. And when I saw Scarlett was in it, I thought, oh, that's going to be real. I really like her. And I was interested to see, I mean, I know she's done action before. I'm not really into Marvel. Is it Marvel she does?
Yeah.
But I know she's done action things before, so it wasn't a completely new concept for her, but I liked the idea of seeing her in this scenario. And yeah, it did feel like a very different movie going in, and coming out, I was pretty elated. I had a really good time.
Okay.
I was like a little kid actually, but I think I gave it, I can't remember what I gave it on Letterboxd, but I think it was like a 4 or a 5. And I mean, I always base my scores on just how much I love something. It's not a technical thing for me. So some people might go, oh, that's very high. But yeah, for me, it was that high. Mm.
Yeah. Look, enjoyability factors into how you want to score things and whatever. Yeah. It's your own scoring system, so do whatever you want with it, right?
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned sort of Chris Pratt leaving and this feeling fresh in a way that the other ones kind of didn't, because so like Jurassic Park, obviously a revolutionary film. Jurassic Park 2 capitalizes on that. 3 feels like it's like sort of hanging on. And I think the studio realizes at that point, these movies are going to get expensive. And if we're not making a certain return on our investment, then maybe these don't make sense for us right now. Then we get the big break and then Jurassic World happens. And it kind of takes us back to the original Jurassic Park. And I remember watching that movie and sort of like, my friend was like, oh, you got to see this. And I watched it. I was like, oh, let me guess, this is going to happen right now. And then that thing happened. So it kind of felt like almost like a plug and play thing where it was like, hey, it's the same movie, but it's sort of updated for, you know, an audience. I don't know, 93 to 2015. So 20 something years later. So it felt like it had like a new coat of paint and a new polish, and like it looked good and it had sort of like all the action, but it kind of was retreading some of the stuff that the first one had already done. Bigger dinosaurs, like the park is like fully open. So it's like you get some things that you didn't get in the first one. It felt like that was sort of like Jurassic Park 2 in a way, in that it looks at the first one and then just sort of evolves that concept. And then we go through that franchise to the point where we're at Dominion, and it's like, well, now we have to bring back the original cast because that's what people want at this point. Like, we're feeding people nostalgia with the franchise, and we're like not giving them the one thing that is like the most nostalgia heavy, which is to bring back the original cast and sort of connect both halves of the franchise. And so by severing that tie and sort of starting anew with completely different cast and sort of like, I think there's a mention of Alan Grant at one point. Jonathan Bailey's mm-hmm. character says he studied under him, but there's no using of that as a crutch. And when I saw Gareth Edwards was attached, I'm like, okay, I really liked his Godzilla. Like, Monsters was good. I mean, you know, say what you want about him, but I feel like he's a competent director and was a good choice for this. And you see some of his like monster movie hallmarks come into play. I mean, the opening for this with sort of like the first death that we see inside the facility is like almost shot for shot the beginning of Godzilla, where Bryan Cranston and I forget who plays his wife, Juliette Binoche, they're like that sort of goodbye sequence where the containment thing is locked and they have to say goodbye to each other through the glass. I'm like, all right, well, I've seen that. So it ends up sort of being a little bit of both, where the new characters kind of give us new life, but then we get the new dinosaurs in the way that the other Jurassic World did. It's like, all right, we're going bigger. We're going crazier. Now they're not just dinosaurs. They're genetically engineered monsters at this point. But then, like, with the story beats themselves, when there's a couple different things, but, like, when they see the Titanosaurus out in the field and Jonathan Bailey has, like, a very Alan Grant like response to seeing the dinosaur in person for the first time, I'm like, okay, is this for people that haven't seen the original Jurassic Park? So they're like reliving that moment. We have this the encounter in the kitchen area, like we have with the raptors in the original film, but this time they're like these winged monsters, so they're not quite raptors, but kind of same setup. You then have the big bad, in this case the mutant dinosaur with the alien head, breaking up that last sort of battle with the raptors, just like in the original film. You insert like the family dynamic in this as well, which it kind of is distracting a lot of the time, but we get Mahershala at the end too with the flare to distract the big monster and like drive everybody away. So it's like we get that callback too, and I'm stuck between, yes, I like Jurassic Park, but I've seen Jurassic Park. And so do you feel like those sort of like callbacks and like this kind of like homage filmmaking gives any room to breathe for a franchise like this? Like, can they abandon that kind of stuff and move forward in a direction that like we haven't actually seen yet?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really liked the nods to the other movies in this. There was a few to The Lost World for sure as well. And I like seeing the Spinosaur again. That's great. So, yeah, I think it's interesting. And it's an interesting question to sort of wonder whether they did that to appease the people who love the original films, because there will be people who I guess are coming into this as new fans, but I think a lot of them will have gone back and watched. There will be some who haven't, but, you know, they'll probably be familiar with those movies. So, yeah, I think there is just enough. For me, it was just enough. Like, I didn't feel it was trite or overdone. Because sometimes, I mean, I'm okay with fan service, but I know that sometimes it can get a little bit much and you sort of think, you know, you sort of roll your eyes a bit. But in this case, they hit the notes. Because I feel like anyone who is super into dinosaurs or who made them their job is probably going to react like that. And I really liked seeing him have that moment because that was why he went. So I'm okay with that. But, yeah, I think for some people it might have been a bit much. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Jonathan Bailey is probably the best part of the movie for me. I feel like he's not the issue that I have with the movie. And like, I don't begrudge Scarlett Johansson for taking a paycheck kind of movie, but she's a much better actress than we get out of her on screen in this movie. And I think the same would be said from Herschel Ali. I think they're both very good actors that don't really have much to do. Like, they almost get into it where we get a little backstory of them, and like she talks about missing her mom's funeral, and I'm like, oh, there might actually be something here. And then they run into the family, and then like that whole sort of character arc has to be sidetracked and put on the shelf in favor of the family. So how did you feel about the family with like the stoner boyfriend and like that whole angle? Because, you know, we see him sort of like he's like comic relief in the movie, right? He brings out the stick and he hits the bushes, and then like dinosaurs, you know, rummaging around in the forest ahead of him. He's like, okay, well, we're not going to go that way. And then he goes to take a leak, and there's like a whole dinosaur fight going on behind him. He jokes about having the weed. He's on the boat sort of just like being like lazy. And it's like a completely different tone than the rest of what's happening in the movie. And so for me, I'm like, it's just like kind of jarring because it's such a large part of it. Whereas with even with the first Jurassic World, I feel like the sort of like the kid dynamic and the siblings sort of like made a little bit more sense. And in the original Jurassic Park, the kids are just sort of like being kids in that movie. There isn't like this focus on them having to be like comedy. They're just sort of like sort of funny because they're kids in the first place. So did you find like that side of the story distracting, or is that like endearing to then sort of thrust the family head on into this story? Thank you for checking out this preview episode of Bad Movie Futures. We started with 2024 films, and the goal is to keep doing these new movies at least once a month, because there are always new movies in the worst of the year crosshairs. So if the shoe fits, I'm happy to wear it. You can sign up for the members-only tier by clicking on the link in the show notes or going to badmoviesweLove.captivate.fm/support. I hope to see you soon.